Here we go with John Curley, Sherry Elliker show. There's Sherry right there. There you are. There's Teeny. Oh, my God. She took one week off, Sherry, from Employee of the Week, and she's allowed to run again. So she has been running around. She's baked cookies and with potatoes and stuff, and she just can't wait to give everybody an opportunity again to vote for her. Voting starts, I think, at 5 o'clock today for Employee of the Week. That's right.
I'm just wondering about something. So if she's Employee of the Week, one would assume she has a job. And if she's able to run around and make cookies and posters about herself, when does she do that job?
That's a great question. I don't have an answer to that.
Yeah, Jake doesn't. And if anybody else has any answer to that one, Teeny, what's the answer? The answer is what?
The answer is yes.
That's the answer, Sherry. Diving in.
Typical.
The answer is yes. Gets a letter. People, we write in. They text in 1-888-973-5476. The Muckers Casino Resort text line. Teeny's in charge of those things when she's not out glad handing. Well, looks like the DEA, Department of, what do they do? DEA?
The Drug Enforcement Administration.
Yeah, they enforce those drugs. Yeah. They, sorry to get rid of it. It's not going to be Schedule 1 anymore. If you look on the Schedule 1 drugs, the marijuana was in with some really horrible stuff. Schedule 1 basically is it's a drug. It serves no medical purpose. There's no reason for anybody to take the drugs. They don't take the drug. It's like Duran Duran to me was a drug when I listened to Duran Duran. But it had no medical purpose, but it was, that's a Schedule 1 for me, you know?
Did you mean it was more like highly addictive? So it'd be like heroin or fentanyl or one of the big heavy hitters.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. When the Duran Duran would come on, it was like an injection right into the mainstream. I was snorting and smoking it and injecting it right in my, oh my God.
Here it comes. Be careful.
Oh boy. Oh my.
Are you at the euphoria stage yet?
When he's on the boat, he's hanging on the front of the boat. I think he's in that. Was this one that was the movie one?
I haven't seen any of their videos.
You haven't?
No.
I can draw them all out for you by hand.
That'd be great.
Oh.
Thank you.
There's a Duran Duran documentary out there on Netflix.
Oh, I'm in the background
of
the documentary.
Strung out.
This is the lead up to it.
Is this Rio? This is an instrument. I cut this up with the instrumental part.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for holding back. All right. Well, anyway. So no longer Schedule 1. They moved it to a Schedule 3. They've been working on this thing for a while. It was Nixon was the first asking in 74, hey, you want to move this to a Schedule 3 or something? He's like, eh, no, keep it there at number 1 because they didn't want anybody to have it. By the way, 1930-something, you could have marijuana. Everybody's like, okay with marijuana because you get the hemp, you could make ropes out of it and stuff. But then they connected it to Mexican immigrants that were coming into the country and during the Depression. Oh, those Mexicans are stealing our jobs and, oh, smoking too much dope. So then decided to kind of crack down on it. It was legal in a few places and then they got rid of it and they made it a Schedule 1. So it's a Schedule 3 now officially, Sherry?
Well, it's going from a 1 to a 3. Now, it's not quite done yet. What they have to do is the White House has to sign off on it and they also take public comment. So it's got a little ways to go. They've got to go through, you know, the usual bureaucracy of whatever, you know, a government agency has to do. But yeah, they're finally coming around to the idea that, hello, it's legal in how many states now? So they're figuring out that it's really kind of pointless to keep it in this category. But because it was a Schedule 3, that's when a lot of people in the 70s, they went to prison because of the three strikes you're out thing. And they ended up doing years and years in prison for marijuana possession.
Mm-hmm. There weren't that many in there, but yeah, people always pointed to it that because they had other problems, too. It wasn't just marijuana, possession of marijuana. They had other things, distribution. They had guns and other things. It wasn't just purely somebody smoking a joint. A few went in, but Kamala Harris bragged about that when she was in California, how many people she put away. for marijuana. So this is good. Listen, the state basically, the federal government wants to get more of those tax dollars. They want to stop people from robbing and killing and shooting pot purveyors that are in stores. Really, if they wanted to get rid of the black market entirely, like in the state of Washington, they would drop that tax from how high it is right now. You could eliminate the black market. They wouldn't be able to compete with the government supplied drugs, but they don't really want to get rid of it. They still want to take the money. And interesting enough, not people that started smoking, not that many more people started smoking marijuana after it became legal. Few people tried it, but it didn't all of a sudden open up a whole door of new pot smokers. And pot has changed a lot from the 70s, where you mostly are having seeds pop off in your eye and there's a bunch of sticks and stuff in there. It's they've got it down that this is some pretty serious stuff that it doesn't have the same. A friend of mine who hadn't smoked for like 20 years or 30 years, I said, oh, here, try this. And he's like, oh, my God, he'd lay down. It's a mess. So it's far more powerful than it was at that time. So to a Schedule 3 for everybody's sake. And now half of Americans support mass deportation of illegal immigrants. I don't know how they would do that. I don't know how you round them all up. But I guess at this point, when you ask people, it is the second biggest thing on voters' mind. What about illegal immigration? The people are just pouring across the border. It's a problem. And which then reminds me, Sherry, of the patron saint of all great thinking. You know what Milton Friedman said about immigration?
Do some economics.
Immigration was in like
learn some economics.
It was 1914. If you wanted to come to this country, you could come to this country. Just come on in. Now they would check you there at Ellis Island and make sure you had, you know, some, you had a few brains in your head and you weren't carrying all sorts of diseases and stuff. But everybody's coming on in. If, you know, go ahead. If you want to go to the United States, come on in. So no one had a problem with immigration then. The problem is now when you ask people, are you okay with completely open borders? Absolutely not. Milton Friedman says the problem is you can have open immigration and a welfare state. You have to have one or the other. Here's Milton.
If you have a welfare state, if you have a state in which every resident is promised certain minimum level of income or a minimum level of subsistence, regardless of whether he works or not, produces it or not, well, then it really is an impossible thing. If you have free immigration in the way in which we had it before 1914, everybody benefited. The people who were here benefited. The people who came benefited. Because nobody would come unless he or his family thought he would do better here than he would elsewhere. And the new immigrants provided additional resources, provided additional possibilities for the people already here. So everybody could mutually benefit. But on the other hand, if you come under circumstances where each person is entitled to a prorated share of the pot, to take the extreme example, or even to a low level of the pot, then the effect of that situation is that free immigration would mean a reduction of everybody to the same uniform level. Of course, I'm exaggerating. It wouldn't go quite that far, but it would go in that direction. And it is that perception that leads people to adopt what at first seem like inconsistent values. Look, for example, at the obvious, immediate, practical case of illegal Mexican immigration. Now, that Mexican immigration over the border is a good thing. It's a good thing for the illegal immigrants. It's a good thing for the United States. It's a good thing for the citizens of the country. But it's only good so long as it's illegal. That's an interesting paradox to think about. Make it legal, and it's no good. Why? Because as long as it's illegal, the people who come in do not qualify for welfare. They don't qualify for Social Security. They don't qualify for all the other myriads of benefits that we pour out from our left pocket into our right pocket. And so as long as they don't qualify, they migrate to jobs. They take jobs that most residents of this country are unwilling to take. They provide employers with workers of a kind they cannot get. They're hard workers, they're good workers, and they are clearly better off. If you ever want to know how people what people prefer, the surest sign is how they vote with their feet. then there is no doubt how the Braceros vote.
Yeah.
They
vote. So that's Milton Friedman. That's the purely sort of libertarian view that if you made it legal and they came in, but if someone's coming in, like, for instance, the story that came out like 3 or 4 days ago, what school it was, without telling anyone, 300 kids whose parents have brought them here that came through the border, the poorest border that we have, are now enrolled in this school. Did you see that story the other day, Joe? Mm-hmm. I forget which school it was, a local school. And the school is like, whoa, 300, right? And you got to provide housing, and you have to provide food, and you got to provide education. And now you see cities around the United States, the local residents, like, wait a minute. You're kicking us out, and you're giving these people this and doing that and this. What about us, right? This idea that you just let people come cross the border, come on into this country, and then you're going to give them all of sorts of handouts, but then you're not going to let them work, or they will work, or they can't work legally. The interesting piece I read the other day that in Las Vegas, they have tight, tight restrictions on who you can hire because they're watched by the federal government all the time. So all the employees that are working in all of those restaurants and in those hotels are making, you know, the minimum of $22 an hour. Well, they're all in there, and it's a high wage because you can't hire somebody on the down low there because the feds would catch you and they'd be in a lot of trouble. So that's why the wages stay high, and that's why no one's coming in there and stealing a job from somebody else, because if you look the other way, hey, you do the roofing, do the construction, do whatever else, and I can hire you for less money than the other guy because, you know, you're kind of in the shadows. So it's the shadows that are to the advantage of business, the shadows to the advantage of the Biden administration that allowed the border to open, to allow illegal immigrants to come in to help drive down inflation.
And to Milton Friedman's point, he's saying, why would they come here if they had nothing to come to? So if you know that you're not going to get free education and free health care and all of that, and you're going to be stuck and you can't work, why would you bother? But they've been given, they've been sold a bill of goods in terms of saying, you know, oh, you come there, it'll be great. They're going to get you this. I mean, and they do get a lot of things. But, you know, the people that feel cheated, the immigrants that feel cheated when they get here and they're not put in the kind of accommodations that they expected, that just goes to show how it's being, I guess, advertised.
Right. They're being told you go there, you're going to get all this sort of stuff. There was a famous cartoon in the 1920s. It was a giant magnet. And the magnet had the word prosperity, U.S. prosperity on it. And underneath the magnet, it was all of these various sort of cartoons of foreigners. They had an Italian guy. They had an Arab guy. They had like a black person. They had all these different sort of, you know, nasty looking cartoon images of people from around the world all, you know, coming in. And all being attracted by that magnet of our prosperity. And because our prosperity does want people want to come here to this country. This is the greatest country that has ever been established. Of course, the people at Columbia and the University of Washington, they don't understand that. But people from around the world will come here because this is the place that you can make something of yourself. And I think the majority of people do come here, do want to work because they see it's much better than wherever they are. But the problem being, we need to have legal immigration, and you can't have a welfare state that draws people in, because then you upset somebody who's, why am I working to pay for that guy? What's he doing? So as Milton Friedman suggested in 1991, you make it legal and you better control of the welfare state so that people are just not coming to get something. And then Americans would be more likely to support the idea. And one other one. Do we have time for this? We probably don't have time for it. But can we get to the NFL helmet? Can we do it in 3 minutes real fast?
Sure.
Sure. Here we go. Sherry, have you ever gone against the crowd? Like been an original, been like, saying, I'm going to wear my hair like this. I'm going to do this. Even though no one else is doing it, I'm going to do this because this is the right thing to do, or it's the smart thing to do. You ever been outside the norm?
No. Not really. No, I mean, when if it comes to something to wear, no, I would be too self-conscious to do that.
Right. So there's this new, the NFL is going to allow the players to wear these guardian helmets, which are not very attractive, but they're better for your head. So this is very similar. I saw that Malcolm Gladwell was talking about Wilt Chamberlain. So here's the quick story on Wilt Chamberlain. This is a famous cut from, well, Malcolm Gladwell explaining Wilt Chamberlain's big game.
No, I don't have that cut.
You don't have it yet. Okay. So here's what works. So Will Chamberlain scores 100 points at a Hershey, Pennsylvania, in a basketball game. 5,000 people were watching, and he hit, I think, 28 points from the free throw line. The reason that's significant, because he was horrible from the free throw line, but he was able to hit these because he was making them underhanded, right? He'd stand there because they called a granny shot, and you take it down the down between your legs and just shoot it up. Now, he did that and made the points, but then he felt, he said, so stupid. He felt like a sissy, kind of a baby, kind of like a girly girl throwing the ball that way. So he went back the other way to make the foul shots. And of course, he missed all the time, even though he knew shooting it underhand, he would have a higher percentage of score. He refused to do it because he didn't like the way it looked. So that gets into this question of whether or not these Guardian helmets, if anybody will wear the Guardian helmets, because again, you're wearing something that no one else is, even though you know it's better for you and safer for you. You don't want to do it because you might look like a sissy.
The NFL now taking perhaps its most visual and polarizing steps in drastically improving player safety. The league now expanding the use of these admittedly far from fashion forward softshell helmets. Athletes now given the option to wear Guardian caps beyond practice to regular season games. Engineered to enhance protection against head injuries by as much as 20%, according to league data. The league cementing their stance.
If you're going to take a punt from Mike Tyson straight to the face, would you rather put a pillow over your face or take it straight on?
The NFL introduced Guardian caps during training camps in 2022.
We saw the Guardian cap this year. The Guardian cap again had a 50% reduction in concussions for the players who wore it.
So they know it'd be better for them, but will they wear it? What did Dave Wyman say?
They say, Dave and Bob both said, I would be shocked to see anybody wear it, mostly because of the style factor.
Right.
They want to look cool. They want to look good. They're
right. Same with Will Chamberlain.
Exactly.
Will Chamberlain, even though he would score more points, even though he would do better at the foul line, he would rather throw it overhand and miss, right, than throw it underhand and score a point. Even though you win with more points and you are less likely to be the target at the end of the game where they want to foul Wilt to get Wilt to go to the line because they know Wilt will miss. The same thing with this. Reducing a chance of a concussion by 50%, but I know it would do that, but I'm too concerned with what people will think of me.
But they look kind of cool to me. I mean, I don't think they're that bad. I mean, high school players wear them, and they have to wear them at practice. I mean, they're a little bulky, but if it saves you from having a head injury, come on, do it.
Says the woman who gave up one of her nipples.
By choice. I didn't give it up. I didn't donate it. I just wanted it gone.
Wasn't peer pressure?
No. No, no, no. No.
Teeny, do you believe? Teeny.
That would say a lot about me if there was that many peers.
Do you believe her, Teeny?
Well, the answer is no.
There you go.
Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, Teeny busted you. Good job, Teeny. Thank you, Sherry. Sherry, if I had a car, where would I take my car?
I would say if you were smart, you'd take it to Bucky's Auto Service Centers.
How many different choices would I have for that car to go to a Bucky's Auto Service Centers?
You'd have as many as 16 locations to take your car to.
I don't want to go to one of those fly-by-night places, Sherry. So let's do the ads where they do with those ads. Like, you act like you can't hear me, so I have to keep repeating the name of the place. You ready?
Yeah.
Hey, honey, I'm going to take my car over to Bucky's Auto Service Centers.
Where are you going again?
Bucky's.
Why?
I said,
why Bucky's?
Don't come in here. Hang on. I said I've got to go over to Bucky's Auto Service Centers.
To use their restroom?
No, Bucky's. Get my car fixed. You know
why Bucky's?
Well, over to Bucky's.
But why?
Well, they got 16 locations, been around for 54 years.
Okay. Make sure you bring a pack of matches. They'd appreciate it.
Where?
To Bucky's.
Oh,
Bucky's
Auto Service.
Listen,
centers.
They've been around for 54 years. Okay. They know your type.
Oh, my God. I'm lightheaded. I don't know what it is. Okay, there you go. Thank you. There you go, Bucky's. There's a little something for you. Britney Spears. How old is Britney nowadays? She's
42.
Wow. Boy, that girl can dance with knives. I'm telling you. Just give me a little bit of Britney. If you get some... Oh, look out! Come on, Sherry. Not saying it wasn't right. She had $60 million, and they say that she is just blowing through it. After she got her father removed the receivership on her, handed it over to her, she handed her lawyer a whole bunch of money. Now people are deeply concerned that Britney Spears needs help. Somebody else to step back in and help Britney out, Sherry.
Yeah, and my question is, if she hadn't been in a conservatorship before, would this behavior that she's experiencing now, which is, yeah, it's kind of bizarre, but she's bizarre.
Yeah.
You know, dancing with knives, going on these lavish vacations by herself on a private jet. Would that alarm people? I mean, it might, but they'd say she's an adult. She has the right to do that. But because she has this past experience with mental illness and everything else, I guess people are saying she's really gone off the deep end. Adding to her expenses is she and her father just settled a lawsuit. He wanted her to pay his legal expenses. And she said no. Well, they finally come to an agreement where she had to pay a certain amount of money to him to cover his legal expenses, because when she sued over this, they found he didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. She said he stole money from her and did all these things, and they found that that's not really true. So she lost technically in court,
right?
And now has to pay his.
If
his
she
money.
Was a he, I don't think people would be talking about this. You know, MC Hammer, God rest his soul.
He still blew alive, through. By the way.
I think he's dead.
No, he's alive. He's getting ready to do a Vegas residency, I believe.
Well, that's going to be really something. I thought
that's a weekend.
He's actually doing pretty well. But yes.
Can't touch this.
I thought he died of cancer.
No.
Just his career for a while. That was dead.
By the way, one of the most notorious gang members in the music industry.
Hammer died from cancer on November 20th, 2022, at the age of 67. Oh, that's Arm & Hammer. He was blowing through $500,000 a month. He had an entire entourage and buying cars and jets and stuff, and just had a bunch of money, lost a bunch of money, went bankrupt. He's coming back up again. People would not be talking about Britney Spears. If Britney Spears was the man that was just ripping through all of this money. But who do they want to step in and try to help her or stop her from herself? I don't think it's anybody's business other than hers, what she wants to do with her money.
I agree. And these are the types of things that they're saying she's done. And like you said, if this were a man, people would be like, whatever. She has nude selfies. Her kids don't want to see her anymore. She married this guy who's 29 years old. And the first dance at their wedding was not between the two of them. It was her, Madonna, and Selena Gomez dancing to Toxic. Okay, they have had wellness checks. The police have come to her apartment, her mansion, and checked on her, and she's met them at the gate and said, "I'm fine." She's got the right to spend all of her money. She's got the right to do all of these things as long as she doesn't hurt anybody or herself. And I believe what happened last time was, remember, she shaved her head and then she went out, and then she had like an axe or she had something, and she was going around a bunch of cars and that type of very unhealthy behavior. But all this stuff, this is sometimes typical celebrity behavior.
Can I play a quick clip?
Yes, Joe, go ahead.
Okay, could she go back into the same kind of conservatorship, or could she maybe even just go into a financial conservatorship, given that she's bleeding out everything she's ever earned?
It's not illegal to burn through all your money. People do it all the time, especially people in entertainment in Hollywood.
Yeah, look at Nate. He had a lot of money. Now he's in there doing traffic. I mean, this is pretty common in the showbiz world. So I don't understand it. Listen, if she wants to waste it or blow it, she do whatever she wants. Absolutely, Nate. Yeah, sorry about that.
That's how it happened.
Yeah. I mean, again, but you say if she's a danger to herself, then family and friends should step in and try to do something. But what, to get the courts involved somehow and restrain her? Who knows? Maybe this is because she was, you know, under the paw of her father for so long, controlling all this stuff. Maybe this is just natural rebellion. I mean, I don't have any problem with her spinning around with big knives in a bikini.
Nah.
No, and who's she got left to really take her under their wing? I mean, she's estranged from pretty much her entire family, her children, her ex-husband, her other ex-husband. So who's stepping up to do that?
Maybe Armin Hammer. Oh, he's dead. That's right. I meant MC Hammer.
Maybe MC Hammer. MC you know, Hammer. She was in Vegas. They could hang out together.
MC Hammer, when I interviewed him, he had the best smelling cologne, and he shook my hand, and then all day long, I didn't want to wash my right hand because it smelled like MC Hammer. And I'd run over to people and go, you know what this is? Hammer time. And I'd put my hand right in their face.
I guess he wasn't dead then either.
Hammer time. Here's my hand in your face. Hammer time. You can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know, can't touch this. Can't smell this. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Zebra still on the loose, Sherry. Zebra still on the loose. And don't forget, we'd walked you through all the scary stuff that a zebra can do to you yesterday. And now we'll add another thing. The Fearless Monkey Gang tearing down the anti-monkey posters. A terrifying downtown uprising. This is the attacks are happening. This is the helpful TikTok video of how to prevent a monkey attack. How many attacks have there been so far by these monkeys?
Well, this is in Thailand, mm-hmm. and I didn't know there was
Thailand. Something called Thailand.
I didn't know there was something called monkey tourism.
Oh yeah.
But apparently in this little town, the monkeys have free range and they got very hungry during the pandemic because the tourism wasn't there.
Yes.
And they went down into the little town, I guess, and started to terrorize people because they wanted to steal some food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this group of people said, okay, we want the monkeys out of here. So they put up all these big posters advocating for the authorities to come in and take the monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
This is on April 21st. That was about at 10 o'clock in the morning. Around 6 o'clock that night, the monkeys went into the village and tore down all the posters.
Mm.
So apparently they are literate monkeys, so they can read the posters as well. But they don't really hurt that many people, but apparently we should be aware of the fact that monkeys can be dangerous.
Well, right. And here's some ways to avoid a monkey attack.
To prevent monkey attacks, dress appropriately by wearing simple clothing, avoiding jewelry, and tying up long hair. Keep your distance from the monkeys, as they are wild animals with unpredictable behavior and strong bite strength. Never feed the monkeys, as it can lead to aggression. Be cautious with body language. Avoid taking close-up pictures and pay attention to hostile signs from the monkeys. If faced with aggression, stand your ground, show empty palms, and avoid panicking. Ooh. Seek immediate medical attention for any bites or wounds, as monkey bites can be serious.
Oof.
Remember these tips to stay safe and enjoy your encounter with monkeys.
Now, they can bite your face off.
It's a monkey. They didn't say carry a stick like the zebras.
No.
Which, by the way, did you know that there were yesterday during the escape, there were four zebras. Three of them were women or females.
Oh, here we go.
And the one that escaped was the single male.
Took off.
Yeah. It's like, I can't take it anymore. They're talking too much. They're complaining. I'm out of here.
I just wish somebody would get a stick.
Step four, grab a stick. Despite your best efforts, the zebra bites you and won't let go. Those teeth are designed for fighting. They're like a giant pair of pliers, and you need to get them off of you as soon as you can.
Yeah, no kidding. Who wrote this? Yeah,
I like the part where
wait an hour or an hour and a half, and then try to remove them. Don't forget, they're like pliers.
I can't remember which step it was, but when he says, try to get it away as far away as possible, but it might already be too late.
How to know when you're being attacked by a zebra.
Step three, read the room. Being near the deadliest kick is hazardous enough, but if you insist on admiring a zebra up close, you should at least keep an eye open.
Yeah, you like walk into the room, you're like, yeah, okay, there's the buffet over there. Yeah, there's an attractive gal, and oh, there's a zebra. Oh.
Then for the signs telling you it's time to go, A zebra baring its teeth or opening its eyes wide is a sign of it being uncomfortable.
I think it's time to go.
You should start making your way out.
Yeah.
When it starts to make noises like barking, snorting, or flattening its ears, you're entering an extremely dangerous zone by staying there.
And then guess what? So you're in the danger zone, but then he says...
They'll lower their head, holding their necks outstretched while baring their teeth. This is their ready-to-fight stance, and it already might be too late for you.
Guy looks, he's got to get you to step four, which is get a stick. If he said, you know, this should be okay for you, he's got to keep you thinking that, you're vulnerable. It might be too late for you, which then leads into get a stick.
I just can't believe that you said, see if you can find some zebra safety videos on YouTube.
And
sure enough.
Sure they are. There they all are.